Hello, I am Joshua P. Warren, and this is Joshua P. Warren Daily. I just read this news story today. Earlier this summer, in June of 2018, when I was out there conducting the space-time anomaly research, and NASA was announcing the discovery of some extraordinary organic molecule on Mars, and President Trump was preparing to announce the formation of the Space Force, while all that was going on, some kind of object crashed. An object from outer space crashed near a U.S. Air Force base in Greenland. The northernmost base. And the strange thing is, the base doesn't want to talk about what this object was. The Independent in the UK says the US Air Force failed to report a major meteor explosion near a military base in Greenland, leading to concern and confusion. The explosion contained 2.1 kilotons of force and occurred just above an early warning radar site. This is according to Hans Christensen, the director of the Nuclear Information Product for the Federation of American Scientists. Apparently this happened on a Wednesday, and some at the base thought at first that this could have been a Russian first strike. So people were pretty spooked out by this at first. However, the U.S. Air Force did not release a statement regarding the meteor or even tweet about it. When they were contacted by the Independent, a representative said, quote, "We're not providing any comment on that, except it didn't impact our operations," end quote. They say the incident was confirmed by other sources, in part by NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. They were able to pick this thing up. It showed an object traveling nearly 24.4 kilometers per second right around midnight. And they say this was in late, the latter part of the month. But you see, even though we know something crashed from outer space, and we don't know what it was, and the timing was really interesting, here is where we spin off into a whole other direction. This Air Force base, I've never heard of before. It's called the Thule Air Base. T-H-U-L-E, Thule Air Base. Now, as soon as you hear that word, it raises the hackles on the back of your neck if you are a student of occult history. Primarily because of the Thule Society, which we'll get into in a minute. The word Thule, it goes back to ancient literature. Ancient literature in the Greek and Roman, referring to an extreme magical land in the remote north. That's where it originates from. So not necessarily anything sinister about it historically. And the Thule Air Base is located way up there. It is the U.S. Air Force's northernmost base. It's 750 miles north of the Arctic Circle. And this is just an icy, it looks like the North Pole, you know, when you look at it. It's actually about a little less than 1,000 miles from the North Pole, as a matter of fact. Not the kind of place that I personally would like to get stationed. A little too chilly for me. The Thule Air Base is home to, how about this, the Air Force Space Command. All right, so let's talk a little bit about, you know, why that name is so interesting in this context. So, And I wrote more in depth about this, actually, in my book, Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. But in a nutshell, after World War I, a group of German aristocrats, who also had this incredible interest in the magic and the occult and ritualism, who were all very racist, they got together and they formed this secret society. And you had to sign an oath in blood claiming that you had no Jewish or colored blood in your veins. You were a true Aryan. Their emblem basically looks like the swastika. And they say here that, according to many biographers, if you read the membership list of the Thule Society, it's like a who's who of Nazi sympathizers. Rudolf Hess, Alfred Rosenberg, Hans Frank, Gottfried Feder, Dietrich Eichhardt, etc. And so it's not at all surprising that this society, the Thule Society, became the chief sponsor of the Deutsche Arbeiterpartei, or as you know it today, the Nazi Party. So this Thule Society became the chief sponsor of the Nazi Party. And what's interesting about them in particular in this case is that, yes, they had these political beliefs about gaining superiority, but they also did have that magical element. Now, this is a magical element that has been fictionalized and fantasized in a lot of ways, like in the movie Hellboy, or you know, some of the Marvel stuff, the Red Skull, that kind of thing. But no, it's true. They really did believe that there was some mystical realm that would provide them contact with superior entities and beings that would help them to succeed. And if you were a member or an associate of the Thule Society, it was required for you to read the books of Madame Blavatsky, who was a very popular mystic of the day, and wrote these big, giant books about mysticism, including this thing called Theosophy. And people who knew Adolf Hitler very well said that Hitler always kept a Madame Blavatsky book on his nightstand, and that's what he would read at night before he was dozing off into dreamland. And it's very interesting to realize, historically speaking, that Madame Blavatsky was the first person to put into print the phrase Law of Attraction. So Hitler was reading about the power of the mind and the law of attraction just about every night before he would go to bed. And so it should be no great surprise that he was able to more easily master the world and create this unbelievable dominating force that almost took over the world. Thank goodness it failed. But it goes to show you how that the law of attraction can be used for good or evil purposes. So Hitler was sort of like the real Darth Vader in this sense, the dark side of the force. And that's why, you know, being into law of attraction is not all just about being positive all the time, but it's also about reaching a point where you can recognize other figures that are using the law of attraction for bad purposes. But anyway, like I said, I get more into that story, if that's of interest to you, in my book, Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction, and you can see why. But the interesting connection here, if you want to let your imagination run a little wild, is that these guys who formed the Thule Society after World War I, that gave such powerful rise to the Nazi Party, as demonstrated by World War II, they were they were believing that they were in contact with some types of beings that would empower them via Thule. That's why they called it the Thule Society. And regardless of what happened to the Nazi Party and the remnants of the Nazi Party, in fact, my friend the late Jim Mars wrote a book about that called The Fourth Reich, about how a lot of these Nazis got sort of seeded back into society and accepted and carried their beliefs with them, certainly when it comes to American rocketry, Wernher von Braun and that sort of thing. But anyway, isn't it interesting that this base in the Arctic, called the Thule Base, where we now have the Space Command, was created in 1943, right there in the middle of World War II, when these guys were at their height, basically, at their peak of domination. And even though Nazi Germany was defeated, the Thule Air Force Base really started kicking in the 1950s. Now, I'm not implying here that there's a direct connection between Nazis and the Thule Society and this Air Force Base, but what I am saying is that it's very synchronistic, isn't it? That right when all this contact from space stuff is happening, we have this mysterious object that has come from space, and it lands right there near the Thule Air Base, and they don't want to talk about what it is. So, I don't know. Interesting. You know, if I just read that story and it was just like a strange object, a meteorite or something like that, fell near an air base and they don't want to talk about it, I would be like, okay. But the Thule thing and the timing of it all is what made me think, well, this is odd. So you can draw your own conclusions. You know, little by little, I just look at what's out there and see what it reminds me of. And then I pass that along to you. It's like I'm Rod Serling. I say, submit for your consideration. That's what I do. I submit things for your consideration. So consider that. Well, hope your weekend is an interesting one. Mine certainly is. There's so much going on, and I have a big announcement for you soon. Maybe in the next few days, but certainly by the end of next weekend. So stay tuned for that. I hope that you'll visit my website to make sure you stay abreast of everything, joshuapwarren.com. Visit the Curiosity Shop. Buy a ticket to my workshop coming up in Los Angeles. And remember to click the link to this podcast. It's always short. It's always free. It's called Joshua P. Warren Daily because I attempt to leave one for you every day. You can subscribe through various means or follow me on Twitter at Joshua P. Warren, at Joshua P. Warren, and I will tweet when a new one is available. And I hope if you find any of these interesting, you'll forward them on to your friends and loved ones, so we can all stay informed together, because obviously, knowledge is power. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Thank you for staying curious. And I will talk to you again soon.